Here at the Warren County Radio Bible School, it is time for our special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review, which is the bulletin passed out to the worshipers that gathered together on the first day of the week at the meeting house at Rock Cliff to worship God after that New Testament pattern. In that bulletin, I usually produce an article that is somewhat of a summary of the sermon that is about to be preached, and I'm going to read that to you this time, and the title of this is Pierce My Ear. These are the lyrics to a song often sung by our youth. Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Take me to your door this day. I will serve no other God. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally. A free man I'll never be. The background for this hymn goes back to the Old Testament law of servitude and slavery. The Lord gave this law immediately after the Ten Commandments. There was no permanent involuntary servitude of one Israelite to another under the old law. Involuntary servitude could be imposed, but this servitude was not permanent. Exodus 21 and verse 2 says, If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Permanent servitude under this law was voluntary. Exodus chapter 21, 5 through 6 says, And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he will serve him forever. Fastening him to the door with an awl would pierce his ear and mark him as a permanent slave. Hence, the hymn. The singers are telling us they have voluntarily become such a permanent servant slave of the Lord. Paul would declare himself such a slave. He began the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The word servant Paul used is a word for that kind of slave. Paul wrote in Romans 6, verses 16 through 18, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The old Roman culture was a slave culture. Many of the early Christians were in slave bondage to another man. They would readily identify with being purchased away from a hard, cruel master to a good and kind master that they loved to serve. Such it was to be free from sin and to serve righteousness. There's an allusion in this in the Psalms. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. The opening of the ear in the psalm is the boring of the ear in the law, and the love for the master in the law is the delight in doing the master's will in the psalm. Like Paul, David is declaring himself a servant slave of the Lord. There's another application of this in the book of Hebrews. This 40th psalm is quoted from the Septuagint in Hebrews 10. Verses 4 through 10, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou prepared me. and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In the passage, the ear of the servant fastened to the doors compared to the body of Jesus fastened to the cross. Jesus is the voluntary servant. It is his delight to do his Father's will. His sacrifice purchased them away from the bondage of the old law to become a servant of God under the new and better law. We rejoice in such service, and we are here to stay. We love our Master. We will serve no other God and never desire to be free. Well, that was the gist of the sermon that morning from the 40th Psalm. We read on this program from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, we're going to return to the Sunday school lessons we've been studying. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of November the 5th, 1925, about Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. We want to pick up with Paul's journey to Jerusalem and how he arrived and what happened when he came there in Acts chapter 21, verses 18 through 20. Here we read, And the day following, Paul went with us unto James, and to all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he rehearsed one by one the things which God had wrought among the Gentiles through his ministry. And they, when they heard it, glorified God. When Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem, as recorded in Acts 15, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. Since that time, Paul had suffered much, preached much, and accomplished much. And now, one by one, or in detail, he relates what since then God had wrought among the Gentiles through his ministry. Would it not have been wonderful to have been in that audience and to hear Paul relate these things? The question of requiring the Gentiles who believed to circumcise their children and to keep the law of Moses had been settled many years ago in Acts chapter 15. But the many thousands among the Jews who believed there were zealous of the law, and they circumcised their children, and they walked after the customs, the purification and other observances of the law, or observances which had become by practice to the Jews as sacred as law. Paul was misrepresented by Judaizing teachers. He was accused of teaching all the Jews among the Gentiles to forsake Moses and not to circumcise their children. James and the elders, in order to convince the Jewish Christians that these charges were false, advised Paul to take the four men who had a vow on them and purify themselves with them and be at charges for them, that is, pay for the necessary offerings. Paul taught the Gentiles that it was not necessary to circumcise the children and keep the law of Moses in order to be Christians, and hence refused to circumcise Titus. But he did not teach the Jews to forsake the customs of the law or to abandon circumcision. On the other hand, he circumcised Timothy, whose mother was a Jewish, because of the Jews who were in those parts. They circumcised Timothy or any other Jew as a family mark was not wrong. But to circumcise Titus, Timothy, or anyone else as an act of worship was wrong. Paul, in acting on the advice of James and these elders, did this upon the principle of becoming a Jew to the Jews and is under the law to those under the law, not being himself under the law or observing it as worship to God, but under the law to Christ. In his speech before Felix, Paul refers to having purified himself in the temple as proof that he observed the customs, and he raised no tumult among the Jews. The Jewish Christians learned slowly that the law had been fulfilled in Christ and had been taken out of the way, and they ceased to observe it only as step by step they learned this. They were prepared to receive it. God gradually taught them this fact, which they did not clearly see until the temple was destroyed. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. We're going to begin looking at our text, Acts chapter 21, verses 27 through 30. And when the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the multitudes and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help this man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. And moreover, he brought Greeks also into the temple, and have defiled this holy place." For they had before seen with him in the city of Trophimus the Ephesian, whom they supposed Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they laid hold on Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and straightway the doors were shut. We read about the Nazarite vow in Numbers chapter 6. Seemingly all things went well with Paul until the 7 days were completed. Then the Jews from Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the multitude and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help this man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place. And moreover, he brought Greeks into the temple, and hath defiled the holy place." For they had before seen with him in the city of Trophimus the Ephesian, whom they supposed Paul had brought to the temple. Since Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus, these Jews from Asia knew him well. They were at Jerusalem to observe Pentecost. From their plots, Paul had suffered much in Ephesus, but now an opportunity to persecute him, which they did not have in Ephesus, is furnished them. Trophimus was not in the temple, but having seen him with Paul at Jerusalem, they supposed he was one of the men in the temple. There was a court of Gentiles into which the Gentiles were admitted, hence the part of the temple which they accused Paul of defiling with the Greeks was in the court of the Jews. All these charges were false, but they served the purpose of these Jews to excite the mob to have Paul dragged out of the temple and to have the doors shut. We read in verse 31 of Acts chapter 21, "And as they were seeking to kill him, tidings came up to the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in confusion." They not only laid hold on Paul and dragged him out of the temple, they sought to kill him. They intended to kill him, and they had begun to beat him up. At this time, tidings came up to the chief captain of the band, the cohort, that all Jerusalem was in confusion. The chief captain was a chiliarch, a commander of 1,000 men. Under him were centurions, each of whom was 100 men. And we read in Acts chapter 21:32, "And forthwith he took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating Paul." We're going to continue this in our next class.